Blog Talk Radio.
And greetings, Ma'ahotep. Welcome to another special edition of New Day Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, and as usual, we are always very thankful to be able to broadcast to you and be with you live and in living color. Before we begin tonight's program, as usual, we always give thanks and praises to our Creator, and certainly we are always appreciative of our freedom-fighting ancestors. Okay, before we go into tonight's program, we want to remind you that we are doing what we call an online rendition of the Black Women's Power Forum. And we're doing that for several reasons, because we are preparing for quite a few events, activities, and so forth that the Million Women Movement has launched and will be implementing officially starting October 25th. And we really are excited about having come to 16 years. It's been 16 years of a very interesting journey. Needless to say, it's been one that has been, you know, filled with a lot of interesting things, but certainly heartfelt. And we are very thankful to have survived it, because in some regards it was pretty complicated, you know. It has helped me to really even learn to appreciate better those who have come before us, who made serious headway in you know, bringing information to us and bringing other realities to us. You know, the Honorable Marcus Garvey, for example, Madam D.J. Walker. I mean, now that I kind of traveled this road a little bit, I really have learned to appreciate them even more, because I can only imagine some of what they experienced. But again, sometimes things must happen, and they do, and they did, and as a result, we are now again ready to move forward, ready to bring the Million Movement into the next phase of reality, and certainly to bring about the mission, the work that was set out initially, now to bring that to an even greater extent. So again, we are extremely thankful that you all have, in fact, joined us this evening and in helping us to prepare for the anniversary, the celebration of the Million Women March and the launching of this movement internationally, because we really have launched our movement for some time now, but to really start focusing on the international aspects of it, well, we started that kind of last year, but now we're combining both the national and international components so that the strength of what we started in 1997 can really now see some form of not just manifestation, but productivity. So with that said, we want to remind you that on October 25th, we will be in front of the Justice Department, and the battle cry is, "We charge genocide." For those who have studied our history, of course, you know that this has been something that was presented by Elhaj Malik al-Shabazz, Malcolm X, several years ago, something also that Paul Robeson talked about, and certainly Queen Mother Moore. So to be, you know, able to bring forward those types of legacies and work in the 21st century, we feel truly honored and blessed to be able to do that. And so, again, on October 25th, we will be at the Justice Department. We charge genocide. And with that said, we will be presenting the Justice Department with some preliminary briefs, as well as some formal complaints, and so forth. Joining us will be Sister Pam Africa, Chairman Fred Hampton Jr., Dr. John Johnson, Dr. Randy Short. It's a slew of folks. We'll be giving you more updates on who's going to be signing on, because we're starting to get the confirmations in now as to who will be presenting that day. But remember, it's not about, you know, just speakers and a large gathering and things of that nature. This is some serious stuff that we're getting ready to do to give the Justice Department complaint and petitions and preliminary briefs that deals with genocide. Because remember, we're talking about independent investigations into the practice of eugenics, okay? You know what eugenics is. That's forced sterilization. And, I forgot to mention Sister Elaine Riddick will be joining us, and she's the one who is in the Ma'afa 21 documentary that showed very clearly what this system, what this government has done over the past and present, Let us not forget there's some stuff still going on. But anyway, Elaine Riddick is, in fact, a survivor of being forced into a sterilization. We're going to talk more about that as we lead up to October 25th as well. And then we want to remind you that on October 27th, we kick off here in Philadelphia what we call Million Women March Week, a whole week of activities, workshops, panel discussions, forums. We're going to kick it off with what we call the Great Debate. I will be debating anyone who has made false claims or false accusations or who has any position they want to bring forward about the Million Women March. I've offered to debate anyone who wishes to debate me about that topic, anything relevant to the Million Women March. And we're doing that for several reasons. One, so that it can be documented, so the record can be set straight about a lot of misinformation. I had one guy to tell me once that he told me what the theme of the Million Women March was. And I said, really? And he said, yes, the theme was Sisters Healing Sisters. And I was like, brother, that's just not even true. I mean, we did something that was called Sisters Healing Sisters, and we did that in July as one of the pre-events leading up to the march. But the theme wasn't Sisters Healing Sisters, and this brother was so irate that he was like, yes, it was. Yes, it was. I'm like, you know, I mean, who told you that? But he really was adamant about telling me what the theme was. The person who created the theme, by the way, which was the three R's, which was repentance, resurrection, and restoration. If you look on the poster, the official poster, you would see that at the bottom of it. And if you saw any of the information, you would have seen the same thing. But this man really was adamant in telling me that the theme for the Million Women March was Sisters Healing Sisters. Now, that's just one of many things that people have put out there that was just totally untrue. I mean, again, we did do something called Sisters Healing Sisters. We still do a conference called Sisters Healing Sisters. And we are now doing some other sessions with Sisters Healing Sisters. But that was not the official theme for the Million Woman March of 1997. So with that said, I will be releasing, again, some very not released before information about certain things about the Million Women March. Again, we're doing that because in addition to the misinformation out there and or the intentional misguidance and direction, what I've had to do now is to make certain that we get back on track and get this thing moving. And because there is a bogus documentary out there from Tennessee or Memphis or something like that to Philadelphia, some stuff, we find it now necessary to really put out some real clear, concrete information and direction. Because the Million Women March was never designed to be a one-day event. And while there were people who jumped on board once it started growing, And it's just, you know, just so crazy some of the things that have happened over the years with this Philadelphia government. You know, these people are, well, I mean, what would you expect from a city government that dropped the bomb on a black community? I mean, so you can imagine the type of things these people do here. I mean, it's just incredible. And trust me, they have lived up to their reputation quite well. So that's just to say that it has been a serious struggle bringing forward the actual integrity. Well, bringing forward the movement for the Million Woman March was a definite struggle because people did not want to see it happen and certainly don't want to see it happen now, but it's too bad. At any rate, we're going to tell you more about that, tell you why you need to boycott Mr. George Tillman's documentary on the Million Woman March. If it should come to your city, please do not support that. It is just, you know, something for him to make some money and to build his reputation. Moving right along, because, you know, he's not even worthy of a whole bunch of dialogue, but I had to at least advise folk, do not support that production or whatever you want to call it. Anyway, later on tonight, we are going to go to our live line, and we're going to talk with a brother who's here in Philadelphia. He is a well-known person that deals a lot with herbs, and we're talking about herbology. You know, some folk call herb something else, but we're talking about herbology in terms of medicinal herbs that are used for teas and other type poultices and things of that nature. He's an herbalist, and he's also a holistic health consultant and a nutritionist. And so we're going to talk with Tony Moore, who has an establishment here in Philadelphia, has had it for quite some years and has been helping people for many years to deal with some of the various types of ailments that attack and come into our community. So we're going to talk more with Tony Moore because he's going to be featured once a month on our radio program to help our people deal with some of the illnesses that we are constantly bombarded with, be it a common cold, be it, you know, high blood pressure. Tony Moore is going to help give us some information and insight how to deal with prevention as well as management, and in some cases to get rid of it. So we are looking forward to having him to join the New Day Resurrection and Liberation team. And certainly we expect him to be calling in very soon. We also anticipate having a sister call in very shortly, Sister Laverne McNeil. She is a sister who is also too in Philadelphia and has been for many years. But the interesting thing about this sister is that she has been a merchant for many, many years, at least 25 years, has been on that same corner here in Philadelphia. And I can tell you that's not easy for a lot of reasons, because those of you who live in urban environments, then surely you know that a lot of the cities are going through transformations, and especially in the downtown areas, they are, you know, changing the scenery, shall we say, in many of the downtown areas because, you know, most of the major cities are now focusing on what they expect to be one of the next booms economically, and that is, of course, tourism. So places like D.C., New York, Philly, Atlanta, and so forth, the terrains, the area, especially the downtown areas, are all going through transformation. Many of the black communities are going through gentrification because if they're close to Center City, they want us out because, again, they are redesigning, restructuring most of the major cities, especially to have this urban flavor to it. So just to have Sister Laverne stay in Center City where she has been for 25 years. That was a real struggle for her to stay there, but she has remained there. And we want to talk with her about that because since she is seasoned and really, you know, a wealth of information in terms of being a merchant, being a vendor, being self-employed, being one to make a lot of the items that she has on her stand. And, I mean, she has wonderful items. She used to have, especially in the winter, hats and bags that she made. And so we want to talk to her about production, manufacturing, even if it was on a smaller scale than what we're striving to obtain, we still need to hear about people who do these types of things, and especially our sisters. And so we're going to talk with Sister Laverne, and we're going to talk about, as it pertains to the Kneel in the March, the In Movement, what it is that we're working on to develop business, entrepreneurship, and what we call not only economic development, but finance and wealth building, holistic wealth building. These are some of the things that we're going to talk about, and some of those things are connected to some of our primary programs and projects that will be coming up that we will be unveiling and releasing in October, and a few of those programs or projects entail something called In the Black, as well as the BBB Co. Now, the In the Black is something that we've been working on for a few years now, and it consists of business folk, any of our people who are in business or wanting to be in business or entrepreneurship, et cetera, commerce. The idea is for us to provide to Men Women Movement members, constituents, the community at large, and so forth, to provide them with services and products. Now, there are quite a few different things out there now that does something either like that or similar to it or what have you, but the one thing that the Me Woman Movement is focusing on in terms of the development of making sure that the black dollar is dealt with in the best way possible, we created some very interesting components that is attached to it. And again, going back to Sister Laverne, as we build with those who are already in business or those who are already producing various things or whatever, the object also is to provide training. And with that training, not just regular business kinds of training, but also to create a component within the Mean Women Movement that has its own business persons, representatives, and so forth and so on. Now, again, one of the key things that we're focusing on is the obtainment of products that are made by our people that we will also market. And some of those products will become mainstay products in what we call the Million Woman Movement Agents, for lack of a better word. And we kind of adopted that from the Madam C.J. Walker model because that's what she called hers. And we may change that name later, but you kind of get the idea. And so we're looking at obtaining, and we're asking all of you to also put this information out or also to respond to it yourself if it applies to you. And it's this: we're looking for natural products, products that are for the hair and the skin, products that you or someone that you know are making. We want to be a distributor of those products. We want to market those products. So we need to know what they are. So we hope that you will pass the word. We're looking for 25 to 50 natural products that are for hair, skin, personal body care. Okay? It could be a shea butter, something. It could be some kind of a brush or something for the skin or what have you. Bottom line is any natural product or anything that's, you know, promoting good health, things of that nature, we want to market it for you. So please feel free to contact us or to just come on and send it to us. Send us a sample. You can send a sample to National MWM, P.O. Box 53668, Philadelphia, PA 19105. Again, National MWM, P.O. Box 53668, Philadelphia, PA 19105. All right, so again, if you have any kind of natural products, we want to market it for you. we're going to start with hair, skin, so forth and so on, and then ultimately we're going to go to other products. Now, again, when we go to our live line, we're going to talk with Brother Tony Moore, and again, he produces very, very good products, and we're going to be featuring products such as that in the very near future as well. And we're talking about compounds or a combination of herbs and other minerals and other things that, again, will help your body. You know, all of what we do, if we don't have, shall we say, good health or health that is going to be up to par for the work that we definitely need to do and that many of us are doing, well, needless to say, your body is not going to work real well if you don't have ample health. So we are taking on the responsibility here at New Day that every month, we are going to provide you with some health information, okay, because we know that you all want that, and we're going to make sure that you get it. So, again, you'll be able to ask questions about different things. We'll be bringing different people on to provide you with different types of information, but we will have Tony Moore coming in once a month to be able to, you know, make certain that we're given updated information because, you know, it's a lot of stuff out there. There's a lot of stuff that comes through the net and in magazines and so forth, and some of this stuff we need to be aware of. You know, I get direct reports from the CDC because I like to see what they say and what they're talking about, what they're cooking up. And so some of us are watchdogs, for lack of a better word, like that, that we can see what some of these people are doing, what they're planning, what they're working on, and we need to be able to report some of that back to you. So as we move forward now in bringing you the Main Woman Movement, which has several components, including the African Holistic Health and Healing Society, and we're also looking at a consumer protection component, consumer protection and awareness, so that we can keep you all abreast of what's going on. Okay? So with that said, we're going to ready to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk with Tony Moore, who, again, is a herbalist, a nutritional consultant, and then some. We'll be right back. Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, and this, of course, is a special edition of our program. Our regular program airs every Saturday evening at 10:30, and we've been doing special editions all week because as we lead up to the 16th year anniversary of the largest gathering in the world, the Million Woman March, we want to get prepared to launch our global movement and also to now do some of the things that we've been, you know, really working on, talking about, and so forth. So tonight is the special edition, or one of our special editions. Tonight we're talking about health. We're going to also talk about economic development, for lack of a better word, but what I tend to always want to say, international finance and holistic wealth. Those are some of the areas we're going to focus on tonight. And we're going to open up the chat room in about 5 minutes for you so that if you have some questions or comments, you certainly can feel free to post them there. And when our guest comes on, if you have some comments or something that you would like to ask him or what have you, we will pass it on as well. Okay, without further ado, let us get ready to go to our live line, and we're going to talk about health being one of your best forms of wealth. You know, some folks want a whole lot of money, and there's nothing wrong with that if you know what to do with it, but I guarantee you can have all the money in the world. If your health is not up to par, all that money ain't going to mean nothing. So it's important that we now obtain the best that we can in terms of our health. So with that said, we're going to go to our live line, and we're going to talk with Tony Moore, who has an establishment here in Philly that he's going to tell you about, and I want you to meet him because, again, he'll be coming on our program often in the near future so we can combat some of these maladies, meaning illnesses, that many of us have now. And in some cases, we really don't have to have them. So without further ado, I'm going to go to our line, and we have joining us now Tony Moore. Hey, Tony. We have you here.
Hey, Evely. How are you?
All right. Good, good, good. What's going on?
Well, you're going on. That's why I'm here.
I know that's right. Well, actually, we're going on because I'm here, because our people are here, and certainly because we need to make some real progress as a people.
Yes.
Do you agree with that? Absolutely.
Yes, I do.
Okay. Well, we want to talk a little bit about health, and particularly to focus on it from a holistic standpoint, and with that, from an African frame of reference standpoint, because there's a lot of stuff out there, you know, the New Age stuff and the, you know, the God, I mean, just, you know, you name it, it's a, just a whole hodgepodge of stuff out there. But I think it's important that as a people, we stay very focused and plug into or tap into those things that are really more applicable to us. And, you know, with that said, because, hey, we have a body structure or a biological structure like no one else. So a lot of times these things are not taken into consideration. So with that said, what would a person, how can a brother or sister who is looking at improving their health, what are some of the things, right, just like immediately or simplistically, what are some of the things that you would suggest that they could begin to do?
Thoughts, thought patterns, how you think, you know, as it goes, how a person thinks, so is he. The thought patterns are very important because one of the main things we have a very, very powerful chemical factory called our brain.
Mm-hmm.
And the brain makes a lot of chemistry, a lot of chemistry. Just the thoughts, all thoughts are chemical, you know, chemical, electrical. And those thoughts affect our blood pressure, our growth patterns. Those thoughts receive the stimuli from the environment and flip through the pages of our DNA and pull out different glands that respond to different stimuli. But not just that level, but all the other level is who we accompany, who we socialize with, our culture, our neighborhood, cleanliness, internal, external, kinship, elders, children.
Wow.
All of those things affect holistic health. Every last one. And the other things are just the catalysts, the herbs and the vitamins, they're just catalysts. They're just like little parts of the whole puzzle. They're, how should I say, they're more like, I'll use a wordsmith. I'm not really a wordsmith, but they're just coenzymes. You know, they just mm-hmm. they just co supporters they support. You know, they will support because you really can't give supplements. You know, you give our famous one, vitamin C. You give vitamin C to a well person, you know, one seemingly well, one thing. It's an ill person, another thing. Cadaver, you get nothing. So it depends upon the vibrations that you carry and, you know, the thoughts that you carry. All those are important. But we can get down to the basics. You know, we can get down to water. You know, how much water we consume, how well we're breathing, and what sources of the, from the garden we eat, and how close to nature are we? Are we in terms of consuming our energy? All those things are important. It's a varied topic, but if we can get specific somewhere, you just help guide me into some specific area because I don't, you know, I can go off in all types of areas. What do we want to start with?
Well, let's do this. Before we go further into some of the essentials, which of course one being water, let's introduce you a little further to our family listening audience so that, you know, they can just kind of get a better sense of you and to really know that you kind of know what you're talking about. So share with us how long you have been studying and applying what you advocate and what you teach and so forth. Give us a little insight into, you know, some of what you do and, of course, why you do it.
Well, I've been working on my Ph.D., since 1975, and I'll probably be getting my Ph.D. and graduating in maybe about 10 years, 12 years from now, and by then I'll probably show myself approved and probably understand the difference between air and water. I'm still working on that. So I started back in 1975 studying homeopathy and herbology. And had a good turn of information at that time. And so by, I think about 82, I started instructing in Temple's community education program. I taught a course by the name of, Natural Cures for the Body. It was a wonderful experience, a wonderful, wonderful experience. Met a lot of people, learned a lot of stuff. Things become rarely crystallized for me. And I stayed there for about 17 years. About 87, I think it was, I said, well, you know, let me take all these items that I've accumulated for my class and our study group, and let's establish a retail establishment. So we started a retail establishment about 1987, and we've been there to date. But during the interim, we had a lot of wonderful experiences, dietetics, traditional Chinese medicine, emergency medical, just to name a few items. You know, we took a lot of skill sets under our experience and worked with a lot of different people. And it became a wonderful experience for me. At this particular point now, what we're working on is trying to pre-digest all the available knowledge that we have and try to make it usable to the novice, the general public, because as what we've experienced is that it's not as important as what I know. It's what's more important is how much you consume from what we give you and make your own. You have to make all this knowledge your own and available to you. So that's basically, in a nutshell, that's where I'm at right about now.
Okay. All right. So you have been at this since 1975. Wow.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, very good. So now let's go back to some of the essentials, and that being, of course, let's start with water. Of course, you know, many are under the assumption that what we were told when we were coming up is that drink eight glasses of water a day. What do you spin on that?
Oh, well, I think that's it's an interesting rule of thumb, but you know what I find? It doesn't really work for everyone. You know, it's a rule of thumb. It's just a rule of thumb to find out that the quality of the water is just as important as the quantity of the water. So you find out that there's several ways to figure out how much water a person needs. Even the person themselves, the soda's dry, or they can taste salt on their forearm or on their shoulder. You need more water. But the way it basically works is you have to drink water until your nostrils are moist, so your mouth is not ashy or dry on the inside, or you know, your urine is of a light yellow color. There's certain rules of thumb that you have to follow for your body, and there's basically no liter or no ounce level set for a particular ethnicity or gender or age limit. You know, it varies, because you could be a very active person, all right? You can be a very active person and need more water. You might need 10, 12 glasses of water. And then if you look at the genders, you notice that women, thin or heavy, usually carries more fat than men, and women can basically appear to be more saturated or hydrated than men, and at the same time they can appear that way and be dehydrated because of the level of the fat that they carry in their body. So
wow,
I can't give you a real rule of thumb. It's a nice rule of thumb to start with, but I wouldn't live by it. I wouldn't live by it. I would go by how the body functions. Like I said, the nostrils, the moisture of the nostrils, the moisture of the mouth, the color of the urine, you know, the wheezing of the breath. You know, I would look at the functioning factors before I determine how much water the person needs. And I'd have the water person drink until they can alleviate those symptoms of the everyday functioning. You know, I would pay close attention to how the body's operating as opposed to how many glasses a person should take. Now, I basically would go that with water. But, you know, there's another area of water that I think, you know, we should consider also, if you have a moment to say anything about that. Water has some very endearing qualities. Water itself, you know, if you look at water, you can say how clean it is, what the charge is, and the pH of the water. Okay, normally it will appear to be clean and it's not, or water can appear to be you know, really fulfilling, but it's not. For instance, if the water has a negative charge, the molecules tend to separate and get smaller. The theory is, and then once it's consumed, it tends to saturate more when it's negatively charged. I think the scientists call it ORP, oxidative reduction potential. And then you have, as I mentioned earlier, clean. I think they call it TDS, or totally dissolved solids. And sometimes you can see municipal water, it looks really clean. You look at it and say, wow, I can look right through it. And then when you check the water, you find it has maybe 100 and 200 particles per million of dirt. But all those,
so are you saying municipal water You're talking like about like basic tap water.
Yeah, right. Thank you. It's basic tap water. And sometimes the quality of the water is just as important as the quantity of the water. You know, then the pH of the water, the water may be as very acidic, you know, 6.2 or 5.5. It could be very, very acidic water. But you know the pH also correlates with electricity. So if you have a pH of a minus 50, if you have the ORP is a minus 50, you probably have somewhere like 6.5 or 7 pH, which means, well, basically with the human body, a negative charge of pH is the start of healing. And the more negative the charge that you get from the food or the water, the more healing takes place on an energy level. So water is a really interesting element for healing, especially water that's been infused with spirit. You know,
So it sounds like you're saying if a person drinks water, they literally can be doing harm to themselves if the water is filled with a lot of toxins or a lot of, you know, chemicals or whatever, such as that comes out of the tap. So you're saying that could really lend to or help create illnesses.
Right. It can throw off the function of, quote unquote, the machine. It could throw the function off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could imbalance the tuning of the body. The body can go off into an imbalanced direction.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So
we're talking about the healing. We're talking about fine tuning.
So now, what about water that's already in various foods? For example, there's a water content in vegetables, or there's a water content in fruit.
You bring up a very interesting point, because now notice that if you can visualize this, let's draw a line across your horizon of your brain. And you feel the vision with your eyes closed, and you see that above that line you see, let's say, this air, and below that line you're looking at the ground. It's a cross section. You can see the roots from a different plant. Let's take a generic plant, and the generic plant has the stems going down, the roots going down in the ground, and then the stems coming up, and the leaves coming up, and the buds. All right, and there's water down the bottom, and the water's coming through the soil, and the plant starts to absorb the water through its pores.
Right.
And as it comes through its pores, what the plant starts to do, it starts to segregate and separate different items. And next thing you know, the water goes up, and it mixes with other chemicals, and it goes up the stems, through the branches, out to the little ends of the stems, into the flower, and the flower turns into a fruit, and then the fruit is infused with what's considered hermetically sealed water. Now that fruit and that water is perfect water, right? So when you consume that fruit, especially if the fruit isn't, if the plant itself isn't tampered with, if it's even hybridized or GMO'd or radiated, then you have some very good water there. It's water there.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So that's good water. It's like you take a plant like the coconut tree. That's hermetically sealed water. It's perfect water. That water is so good that water can be intravenously fed directly into the bloodstream. There's historical information of it being used, like the Japanese used it in World War II when they ran out of plasma. They filtered the particles out of the coconut water, and they used that for all the people that didn't have the plasma on the reserve blood. So they used that. It filled water. I mean, the plant created perfect water.
Mm-hmm.
So you that's a very good question. Very good.
Wow.
So
that's
water.
So
we can stay on that a long time if I knew something about it.
Well, again, we definitely know that water is essential and is very important in this day and age, especially that we focus on drinking, particularly water that is going to be, replenishing and really aid in helping us to, do what we need to do with our bodies. So we need to definitely look at that a little more realistically and I guess not take it just for granted. And I think more people are doing that because the sale of spring water has risen enormously.
But, there's another point I'd like to make. I don't want to steer off the topic, but if you check out this month's, National Geographic, there's an article in there on the water, the rising water, and there's a very small percentage of, consumable water on the earth, and the water levels around the air world are starting to rise, and they're replacing maybe about 135 or 36 cities, coastal cities in jeopardy. And water is going to be the next gold. Water is the next gold. It's a very important element to our health and our life, in our livelihood. We can't really cannot move along without water. All right. And we're basically using the same water, there's no new water on the earth. We're using the same water. This water's been here all this time. It just goes around and around and around and around. We never consider that, but it's the same water. And what's most important is how we treat the water. And we really, we treat the water as bad as we treat the land.
That's very
interesting point, isn't it?
Now, I want you to hold that point right there. And can you stay with this for a while? Because we're going to get ready to go to our next guest. And I want to recapture some of what you and I are talking about and what we're sharing with our family listening audience. But I also want to bring in Sister Laverne McNair, because as those of you who tuned in earlier, you heard that one of our topics tonight is also to focus on business. Now, Tony, we're going to talk with you about business, too, because needless to say, we are talking about products that our people make, and the Men and Women Movement wants to begin to be a distributor for some of these products. So I want you to hold on. You stay right there, Tony, and we're going to bring in Sister Laverne, who, as I indicated earlier, is a merchant here in Philadelphia, has been on the same corner in Center City. Well, I can let her tell you, but I can also tell you, as we indicated earlier, that all over the country, gentrification is well in effect. They have moved our people out. Now, remember, vending used to be a real livelihood. A lot of our people were able to raise their families on being a merchant, an honest work thing. I mean, these people have cut that down so much that because they saw that, we were able to be independent, but this sister persevered. When the city started cutting down on how many vendors could be in the Center City area, she fought, and she has stayed in that same location, one of the few that is still in the Center City area. And so we want to salute her, but also let you all see as an example that we can do what we need to do. And so the Men and Women Movement is now in the process of developing units under our umbrella, some that are specifically for our women in the development of business, entrepreneurship, merchantry, commerce, But then it's also the general areas that's for all of our people. And again, that will include whatever products, whatever types of things that we can start getting in, we're going to start being a distributor. And I'm going to tell you more about that as we go on later on into tonight's program, as well as leading up to the anniversary of the Million Women March. But right now, we're going to bring in Sister LaVerne and welcome her to this segment of New Day, Resurrection, Liberation. And I want you to meet her, and she's going to tell you about who she is and what she has been doing for the past 20 years plus. Sister LaVerne, we have you on this line?
Yes, you do.
All right. Greetings to you, my sister.
Greetings.
So tell us a little bit about, you know, again, you've heard me already
Yes. Kind
of give our family some insight into some of the struggle that you had to endure to stay independent, to stay out there. You know, tell us a little bit about how you got started.
Okay. Well, by the grace of God, I had a regular job and only worked 9 months on the job. And I said I wanted to work with my hands and my mind that God blessed me with. So I came out in the 60s. I've been out there since the late 60s with $1 in the milk rate, crocheting hats while people wait. And that's how I started vending. When I came out, they say there's no way a woman can sit on a milk crate and crochet hats and take care of her son. And that's how I got started as a vendor in Center City. When I came on the street, I was a teenager. And I used to walk up and down Market Street and say, when more people like me coming? When more people like me coming? Because we weren't even in existence back then.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So now when I walk around the city, I always smile. 52nd Street, a few black vendors that's left in Center City. And I said, well, here they are. Now, the struggle that we went through in the 70s under that Frank Rizzo administration, that was the worst struggle that black vendors had to go through because we are the pioneer vending of the city of Philadelphia.
That's right.
Yes.
And, wow.
Yeah, it was ugly in city council when the brothers got beat in the head for just trying to sell incense and oils.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to take a stand then. So now, by the grace of God, when I went through with the city for 2.5 years, when they took my location at 10th and Market, they wanted me to find another location, but I said when I came out, nobody wanted to be a vendor. And really, you did not have to buy a vending license back in the 60s. And no man has the right to take my livelihood away from me. So that's
right.
Why I stood at 10th. No man has, because man didn't give it to me. So that's why when they came up against me and told me to take these other locations, I told them no. I said, this is my livelihood. So anyway, make a long story short, you go to jail, your son tried to dislocate my son's shoulder. It was ugly, real ugly, but freedom is not free. Freedom is not free. So you have to fight for what you believe in. And that's what happened at 10th and Market. And I'm only there by the grace of God. And I tell people when they see that stand, you know, God restored me back. And by the grace of God, I am the pioneer of vending. And I represent the warriors, those brothers that stood up against this administration for the black vendors of Philadelphia.
All right. Now, you say it started with Frank Rizzo. And, you know, those who are listening, I'm sure, have heard about the notorious Frank Rizzo, who was the police commissioner and then became mayor. But also, after Frank Rizzo, some of the other Negro people were involved in trying to switch up the vending rights of our people. When did that policy of changing up the vending rules and stuff, whose administration was that under?
I believe it was under John administration, but when the city came up against me, it was Frank DiCicco, because that was his area. Every
city council
first, that's what I found out, because when I was fighting, I was going up city council to find out what happened. Jamie Blackwell is in control of 52nd Street.
Right.
Okay. Frank DiCicco was for Center City.
Right,
and that's where
right.
it came from. And what they was trying to do is say, Rite Aid's, which you came down to support me, Rite Aid's didn't want me there. But come to find out, it was Frank DiCicco.
Because
that was his area.
Okay. So just so folks know, family, what happened here in Philadelphia was very interesting, and it ended up happening in other cities as well, where when you're in the city area, they would limit the number of vendors in the city. They also did it in Newark. And they would limit the number of vendors, and they would give vendors a location where you could be, and then there's location where you could not be. So this kind of started in Philadelphia, and then it generated around to other cities, as with other things.
Okay,
so
but everything started. Okay, the vending started in Philadelphia because the brothers that used to vend on 11th Street took it out all the way down south. Zaira and all those brothers. They took it. They took, you know, they started right here at 11th and Market Street, and then the brothers
well,
took
it
all the
way. Well, you know, I know because I was a student in that community.
Yes, yes, and even with what surprised me, Ron, State Representative Ron Waters, they gave me a award with the Tuskegee Airmen, right?
Right.
And he had said to me, he said, "Laverne," I said, "Yes." He said, "You know, I went to community college." He said, "I used to see you crochet." He said, "When I went to community, it was freezing cold. You was crocheting, and when I came out, you were still crocheting. How did you maintain the cold?" So I told him, and I had to catch myself because it was a lot of people there. And I said, "Well, which is true." And so you had to realize I was a woman. I am a woman with a child. So when the brothers, some of the brothers came out, you know what we got to do to go through with our brothers. They told me, well, sister, I told them I don't work the cold. I work April to October because I was I had to strip to myself. They said, "No, well, sister, if you can't work the cold days, we got your location." So the coldest day God allowed me to work was 14 below zero. And that's how I maintain that. Yeah, 14 below zero. That's why I don't take it lightly. And then after them came the Koreans. I had seven Koreans on my back. Not one. One is bad enough. But you got seven. And that's how they shut the black vendors. Some of the black vendors, when we had all the corners, they would sit beside them and watch what they would sell. Then on the weekend when the brothers flipped their money, they would buy that same merchandise and cut the brother's throat and sell it real cheap. And that's how they end up with those corners. Well, by me being a manufacturer, they couldn't touch me. Because I remember the young man was working for me. He says, "Miss Laverne," I said, "What, honey?" He said, "I see hate on those Koreans' face. They just stand there staring me down." I said, "You should feel good because there's nobody black taking no money out their pockets." See, when you make your things, when you manufacture your things, they can't touch you. So next time I came to work, he said, "Mr. Frank, you know what that Korean did?" I said, "What?" "She came and stood here at your stand for 45 minutes looking at those sets that I made. They went to their wholesale place, and they had them make those same sets. And when I came to work, her stand, her stand looked exactly like my stand. She had it set up the same way. That's why she was looking at my stand for about 45 minutes. Okay, well, I thank God I came up with Cecil B. Moore, Milton Street, John Street, Zaira, so I knew how to boycott her and shut her down.
That's right.
And that's what happened. She had to take the stuff down.
Wow. Family, I want you all to really hear what this sister is saying, because what we're talking about is some of the things we're getting ready to also now do again, you know, because this is what happened in order for us to move forward in the past, and unfortunately, people sold this out, got in some of these political offices, and forgot about what was really going on the streets, and so forth and so on. So what you're hearing is how the Koreans began to come in, see what we were doing, and then duplicate it, sell it cheaper, steal our business, and so forth and so on. Okay. So we now have got to outthink them again, and begin to recapture some of that clientele that is now going to, you know what, it just, I went into a store the other day, and I think I just wanted to get change or something, and I heard this black woman say to this female, "Oh, how you doing today, mommy?" this is crazy. But this is what we're doing in our communities nationwide, calling other people mommy and poppy. And before them, it was the Koreans. I heard them calling them mommy, too. I mean, we got some real problems. Real problems. But, my sister, before we let you go, just tell us two things. One, some of the things that you have manufactured, because this is why we're having this conversation. Two, family, we have, you know, one of the things I often hear in dialogue is that black folks ain't making nothing. We're not manufacturing anything. Well, that's not true. And certainly we've got to now do this to a greater extent. But you hear this sister has done this and has maintained and sustained. Sister Lorraine, what are some of the things that you have manufactured?
Okay. In the wintertime, I mostly make all my winter things out of fleece, the hat and scarf sets. And this is like my fourth generation to come to me and buy those same sets. The ones that used to be babies, they grown now, and they're bringing me their babies, and they're buying those same hats that I make. By the grace of God, I can make anywhere from 50 to 100 items per day. I also manufacture the UNIA flags.
Flags, red, black, and green.
When I met the late Mr. Redmond Battles, he told me he needed 55 flag, 55 to 80, which I had not made none since. I told him since the time we marched on Whitman Park before there was a Whitman Park. You know, that was a long time ago.
Yep.
I asked him how many he needed. He said 55 to 80. But by the grace of God, I made over 300 flags within 12 days. He had called me one day. He had 300 flags, all different size, styles, whatever. And I had a brother with lots. He came in with the lots, and he seen all those flags. He said, sister. I said, what? He said, they got Betsy Ross, and we got you. Then the late Mr. Redmond Battles called me one day. He said, Laverne, he said, I need a gigantic flag made. I made it, left it, and came back whenever. He said, Laverne, I said, yes, sir. He said, you know what happened to that flag? I said, no, sir. He said, a Garveyite from England or London came and picked up that flag. I'm like, okay. He said, well, do you know where that flag went to? I said, no, sir. He said, went to Zaire, Africa. I'm like, okay. Then he said, do you know what it was used for? I said, no, sir. It was the draping. It was a Garveyite that passed. That was the draping of his coffin, and he presented it to the family in Africa. So faith and $1 in the milk crate, in the grace of God, yes, I am a manufacturer. I can make anything that you want, but I'm willing to teach it.
All right. That's what we're talking
about. I'm willing
to
teach it. That's it. I'm willing to teach it, you know. I make the hats for the lots, the crochet, red, black, and green, and the Jamaican ones. I make them within 15 minutes to an hour while you wait.
All right.
So that's what I do.
All right, my sister. Well, again, thank you for taking the time to share this with us. I'm going to be getting you some more information about Million Woman Manufacturing Products, and of course you did manufacture one of the bags for us some years ago.
Oh yes. Ooh, yes.
yes. All right. Well, again, Sister Laverne, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us, and I will definitely be in touch with you because we got some stuff we're getting ready to do come next year for the Million Woman March and its movement.
Okay. And thank you for having me on. Thank you.
Absolutely. Okay, we've been talking with Sister Laverne, and as you just heard, Sister's dynamite. I mean, she made it very clear that we can do it, family. Needless to say, we can do it, and we must. Oh, wow, I was hoping Brother Tony Moore was still with us. It seemed like we dropped his call. Sister Laverne, are you still there?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Before you go, I want to ask, family, did any of you have a question or a comment for Sister before she goes? If so, please push one now, and we will take your question or comment. I'm certainly going to be getting with her soon to see what kind of manufacturing stuff we can do. But again, if you have a question or comment for her, please push one now before we let her go. and we will get her back. Let me see. Oh, I'm trying to see if Toni Moore was with us. Seems like he has checked out. But at any rate, Sizzler Brand, we're going to get you back on in the very near future. And what
okay.
we'll do is let our people know a little more in advance, because I know we just kind of set this up today. But we want to
yes.
kind of get you back in the near future so that we can really start working on some projects. Because on October 25th of this year, I'm going to make a couple of announcements in terms of what the Million Woman Movement will be doing in the next couple of years. And we certainly will hope to get you on board with that.
Okay, thank you.
All right, my sister, and
thank
you.
All right,
thank you,
my sister. All right.
All right. Okay, family, I was hoping that Toni was still with us. It seems like he has checked out okay. But at any rate, you got a gist of what we've been talking about, and you've got a gist of what we're getting ready to do. Again, we remind you that one of the components for the Million Woman Movement is going to consist of a marketing, manufacturing, and merchandising component, and that's just a few of what we are putting together in terms of our women. Now, if you're in the Philadelphia area, we certainly invite you to join us over at the Shanghai City Cultural Center tomorrow. We're going to be there every Saturday now at 2 o'clock to hold our sessions and to deal with our growth and development of our women and girls. And there'll also be sessions that are for the entire community. Now, tomorrow, we're going to talk about, is it time for the Million Woman Party? And certainly for Philadelphia, is it time for some new leadership, so-called leadership in our community? We're going to talk about that tomorrow. And next week, we're going to show the presentation of the four little girls. We were going to do that tomorrow, but we decided to wait until next Saturday. We'll be showing the Spike Lee documentary on the bombing of the 16th Street Baptist Church, which occurred September 15th, 1963. We just observed the 50th year anniversary of that. And, of course, there were four little girls who were murdered as a result of that dynamite that was placed at that church. And the question has been in these past couple of weeks since then, or in the weeks since then, as women, how do we keep the legacy of our women, of our girls, whose lives have been lost as a result of this barbaric hatred that we find in this system that has been targeted to us? So we want to talk about that more tomorrow. Again, if you're in the Philadelphia area, please stop by the Shanghai City Cultural Center, and it's located at 3117 Master Street. We'll be there from 2 to 3:30 p.m. And then, of course, every Saturday, we will be at the Shanghai City Cultural Center doing various sessions. Again, we want to thank Toni Moore for coming in tonight and sharing with us the information that he brought, and he will be coming in once a month to talk to us about health. We need to be healthier, family. We owe it to ourselves. We owe it to our children. We owe it to our community. We must be healthier. And remember, wealth is really not just about money. To be healthier is to be also wealthier. Well, at any rate, we're going to close this segment out for tonight. And again, we want to thank Sister Laverne for calling in and sharing with us her story, her information. Oh, the one thing I forgot to tell you is that she is located at 10th and Market Street. Right now, she has some sharp bags. That's what I meant to mention with you, because what we're going to be doing here at New Day is featuring folk on a regular basis that have a variety of goods and items that they are either producing themselves or distributing, so forth and so on. So we want to remind you, if you're in the Philly area, again, she's located on the corner right at 10th and Market Street. Stop by, give a sister a play. That's what we're talking about doing here at New Day, supporting one another. So with that said, family, we certainly appreciate your donations right about now for the 16th year anniversary of the Million Woman March. We are requesting $16 as a part of your support for what we have been doing and are doing and will be doing. $16 as a part of the commemoration of the 16th year of the largest gathering in the world. We're also in the process of putting out this year a mandala's journal, and so we'll tell you more about that tomorrow for our program. Remember, tomorrow is our regular program at 10:30. And please pass the word. We really, our audience is growing. Tomorrow we're going to be talking with Dr. Randy Short, I think, again. Oh, Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. will be joining us tomorrow night. He'll be telling us about the shootings that just occurred in Chicago yesterday, but he's going to also give us some other very important information. So, again, we'll be talking with Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. tomorrow night, 10:30 Eastern Time. So, again, family, until tomorrow, we again thank you all for tuning in to this segment of New Day Resurrection Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, and this is one of the official radio broadcasts for the historic Million Women March and Now Its Movement. And we remind you that on October 25th this year, we'll be doing our commemoration at the Justice Department when we charge genocide. The demands, we want an independent investigation into eugenics. We also want an independent investigation into COINTELPRO. And with that, the release of our political prisoners, which include Mumia Abu-Jamal, Dr. Matula Shakur, Russell Schultz, Sundiata Kohli, and so forth and so on. These are brothers who are there because they were targeted by COINTELPRO, some of them as early as 14 years of age. People need to know this. Other governments need to know this. This is not only civil rights violation, this is human rights violations. And so with that said, we must take a stand, and we must let other governments know so that they can be responsible, because they too signed the UN Declaration on Human Rights, which means they have a responsibility too when complaints are brought to them. And that's what we're going to do. Joining us again on October 25th will be Dr. John Johnson, whose daughter, Lavina Johnson, was murdered while serving in the United States military. They sent her to Iraq. She was killed, but she wasn't killed by the so-called enemy. She was killed by people in her own troop and raped. So Dr. John Johnson will be joining us, along with Elaine Riddick, who, of course, is in the Mafia 21 and is a survivor of being sterilized without her knowledge and without her guardian's knowledge at 14 after she was raped. They were made to sign for her sterilization in order for her grandmother to continue to get her food subsidies that was given by the government. That's called genocide, family. So at any rate, we're going to give you more information tomorrow, and we thank you all again for tuning in to this segment of New Day Resurrection and Liberation. If you want more information, please feel free to contact us via email at nationalmwm@aol.com. Again, nationalmwm@aol.com. You can also call us at area code 267-636-3802. Again, 267-636-3802. Want to also remind you, lastly, that we're preparing to go to Cuba. Our educational cultural trip is coming up. We're going to tell you more about that tomorrow, and also as we proceed in the weeks to come, because I'm going, and you all, hopefully, some of you, will be joining us. Until next time, we leave you as we oftentimes greet you in the spirit of Ma'anihotep. But remember, there could be no real peace, no real Hotep, unless there's truly Ma'at justice. No justice, no peace. No justice, no peace. No justice, no peace. Till tomorrow, Tutanana, Kwaheri, and Pamoja to the Shinda, together we shall win. I